This is Mark Steiner. We've been covering the homeless encampments of people living under the JFX near Madison and Fallsway for the last several weeks. The city said they were going to move them today, Friday, March the 8th. But before they could, a regular citizen found them housing, temporary good housing, that the city could not seem to find them. What was left of their encampment, the city bulldozed today. They were met by advocates and the homeless to bear witness and to make sure their belongings were not destroyed. Two of my producers, Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery, were there to tape, shoot, and tell their story. We'll be covering this again on Monday live and later in the coming weeks. To hear what has happened to these people, what the city is doing to find housing for the homeless and affordable housing for the at least 40,000 low-income people who are housing insecure, and to find out why the plan to end homelessness was changed. But now, the story of today's dismantling of Camp 83, in the words of the advocates and the homeless. We begin with Jeff Singer, founder and former executive director of Healthcare for the Homeless.
It appears that everyone who was living here is no longer here. And all that's here, some of their belongings, some of which will be thrown away and some of which may be stored. But more importantly, there are a lot of folks gathered here to make the point that it's not the encampment that's a problem, it's the lack of housing and poverty level incomes and lack of access to services, that's the problem. So we'll be continuing to do this. We'll probably walk from here down to City Hall, and I have a gift for the mayor and for the director of human services, and then we'll, you know, reorganize and continue this struggle.
So the cleanup is taking place right now then?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, there's a dump truck and some DPW people and someone from the city's Office of Emergency Management and from the Office of Homeless Services.
What have you got for the mayor, are you saying?
Hearts. Uh-huh. A heart for the mayor and a heart for the director of human services. I think they seem to have misplaced theirs somewhere along the line.
My name is Michael Anthony Wiggins. I was released from the Federal Bureau of Prison on February the 12th, right? And since that time, I stayed in a motel a couple of days, and I've been homeless. But I signed up for All-State Career Truck Driving School. I'm enrolled in that. But when I get out of school at 1:40 in the afternoon, I can't have a bed in a homeless shelter because I haven't been counted by staying in that room from 11:30 to 12:30 like 300 other homeless people. So the city hires the homeless people. They're in there right now sitting down waiting to get a bed that night. And that way they won't walk around the city. I asked somebody in there why it's like that. He said, that way the homeless people don't get on people's nerves. They just sitting in there waiting for a bed. They don't promote somebody like me to get out and get a job or to go work and go to school or whatever. Because when I get back, I don't have a bed. It's 1:40 in the evening. It's past the count time. And so what happens is this. You get up 5 in the morning. You go downstairs. You wait in the room there until 11:30 and 12. They make a count. And then at 3 o'clock, everybody that's in there goes upstairs and goes to the dorm, the bedrooms or whatever, right? I come out of school 1:40. I don't have anywhere to stay because I haven't been counted. I haven't stayed in there all day to be counted. So that's promoting people to be homeless. You know what I'm saying? And it's just a terrible situation, man. And you should see some of the cruddy and dirty conditions that go on inside there. The only people that's doing good in there are the staff. That's it. You know what I'm saying? And other nights I come out here with these guys and stay up underneath of there because I feel more safer than getting robbed or getting my stuff stolen from me or catching some type of staff type of disease. At least the cold weather will kill the disease. So I'd rather stay up out here where it's real cold with the brothers out there. You know what I'm saying? But if all's work out, like I say, I'm enrolled in All-State Truck Driving School. And yesterday was my second day. I came back at 1:30, and I couldn't get a bed, so I had to stay under here with these guys all night long and freeze.
Where are you going to stay tonight?
Where I'm going to stay tonight? Well, I don't have no school today, so I'm going to just walk around the city and go to the library, you know what I mean, and get on the bus, ride the bus all day and the subway all day, and just wait till Monday and go back to school again and try to get my truck driver's license. And once I get that, then I'll be able to help some other people get off the street, you know?
My name's Charles Jones. Me and my wife, Tracy, have been out at the 83 encampment for 15 and a half months. We came out here January 29, 2012, and our last day here because Belvedere Assisted Living came and got us a house was March 3rd, 2013. It's a three-bedroom house. It's so me and Tracy can get our four kids back together and we can try to rebuild some sort of life that we have.
And why are you out here today?
I'm out here today because I knew that no one else was going to come, and I didn't want it to be easy for the city to just come in and throw everyone away.
Because what are they doing to people's belongings now?
Anyone that didn't take anything, they're throwing everything out. They said they would store stuff, but there's no moving vehicles here. There's nothing. There's trash trucks. They had no plan in saving anyone's stuff. Miss Christina Flowers, she is like the godsend in this whole thing, and she said that she asked Olivia Farrell, she asked her if there could be some contributions made to get some beds and stuff for these people, and her reply to that was, if she didn't have the resources to accept these people, she should have left them where they were. She shouldn't have accepted them. So I really think that the city is not behind this at all. So, I mean, it's a shame. It really is.
So what's your name? It's Matt Quinlan. I'm with Housing Our Neighbors. So what's happening over there right now? So this is the eviction of the encampment, which the city had scheduled to happen at 8 o'clock. The city was on time at 8 o'clock. Department of Public Works is here. They're bagging up and throwing out everything that was left behind by the residents of the encampment. All of the residents were placed in a temporary transitional home within the last 24 hours. So none of the residents are here currently. And Gabby Knighton from the city, from the mayor's outreach services, has said that if any residents want to keep any of their belongings, that they need to be here personally to claim them. The transitional home is in sort of South Charles Village, Station North boundary. So none of them are, you know, here now currently to claim any of their stuff, including some of the residents. One gentleman who's incarcerated right now who obviously can't be here, but the city has been accommodating and trying to go through his belongings and figure out what they should keep and what they should throw out. Otherwise, everything else that's been left behind is being put directly into the Department of Public Works trash compactors that are pulled up on the long side of the road right now.
What's going to happen now? I mean, there seems to be a bunch of momentum behind this right now. I mean, you know, what next?
Yeah, so you can look just a block south, and there's more people sleeping on the side of the road there. A block south of that, there are people that set up tents every night and take their tents down. A block east, there's tents set up. So this is the residents of Camp 83, as important as this issue has been, make up just less than 1% of all the people that will sleep outside tonight, all the people that slept outside last night. There's still over 4,000 people, including the last count, over 600 adolescents from 13 to 25 that are sleeping on the street every night. So we're hoping to use this momentum just show the city that we are not going to stop until everybody has options or access to affordable housing, until the city's priorities allow for people to have access to affordable housing.
I'm Lisa with Lisa Klingenmeyer with Housing Our Neighbors. We're here today because the city has forcefully evicted 14 individuals from what's been known as Camp 83. The city's here today to clean up what remains of their belongings. Many of the campers have been able to move into transitional shelter thanks to some private charities stepping in. And while we're very grateful to those private charities, that's not really a solution to homelessness that's sustainable, which is why we're out here today. We want to make sure that the city's not let off the hook, that just because last night those individuals had a place to stay doesn't mean in a month, 2 months, a year, those individuals will still be housed. We know from experience the only solution to homelessness is a housing first model where we put people straight into housing. The city's already spending resources on things like emergency shelter, but that's not really good use of city resources. It's just an expensive waste of money that doesn't really address the core problems of homelessness, which are lack of affordable housing in the city, lack of jobs with a living wage, and lack of affordable quality health care. So we just want to make sure that we're out here being that message that homelessness is a serious problem. There's a lot of people that are dedicated to solving it. Let's work together to figure out a way to do those as a city.
And do you want to talk a little bit about the momentum that you've built here and what your plans are next?
Absolutely. Well, this is just one encampment of 14 individuals. There are several encampments in the city, and we know over 4,000 individuals on any given night are experiencing homelessness. So we want to propel the energy from this event to trying to figure out ways to start working with the other encampments, having conversations, constructive ones around homelessness, figuring out a way that the community that's interested in working on these issues can come together and start addressing them.
So you just say your name?
Luis Larin.
Do you want to talk about why you're here today, like why you're out here to show support?
Of course. I'm a leadership organizer with the United Workers, and the United Workers is working in the Fair Development Campaign right now, which also includes housing. And for us, one of the issues is that the city is willing to give millions and millions of dollars to developers, but not to provide basic human rights for human beings. And housing is one of the human rights that we're fighting for. Like, there is so many empty houses in Baltimore, as mostly in the United States, and yet we have homeless people, and we see this as a problem where the city is putting priorities of public resources using for private profit and not for the citizens, and that's why we are here showing support and saying, you know, housing is a human right, and housing is also part of fair development. If what we are asking for is a fair development which respect human rights.
My name is Liam,
and why are you out here today, Liam?
You know, we're here to show support and solidarity for people who try to gather and come together in times of emergency, trying to use space that would otherwise be public. When they come together to help themselves, something like this happens. The state comes in, they're bulldozing right now, you can hear them in the background, and right behind the dump trucks is the truck with the barbed wire fence. You know, this is a space for people to gather, and now it's going to be a vacant lot with a barbed wire fence around it. You know, the city's been saying that this camp is a threat to health and safety, but, you know, or a threat to the public, but there's no public around here. It's flanked by a prison and an interstate. This is probably one of the best places that you could kind of disappear in the city. They're not afraid of or they're not looking out for the health of the people. They're afraid of togetherness.
This isn't trash. Y'all guaranteed them storage. Y'all put those tents in storage.
The city had guaranteed storage room for them, and now they disregarded that. They wanted the tents in storage. There's some belongings still in there, so we want to hold them to their word. And now they're just showing us that they really don't care. So on behalf of the former Camp 83 residents, in case permanent housing does not fall through immediately, they may have to come back. And we want them to save some of their belongings.
What's your name?
Frank Talk.
This is not ending homelessness. That this eviction here is only pushing the problem, you know, under the rug, that the city claimed no responsibility in the housing first model, which is the model proven to end homelessness, and that, you know, we're just asking where our city's priorities are.
What's the housing first model?
So the housing first model is this idea that you house people first, and then their mental health and their physical health issues and their substance abuse issues all are much more likely to heal and recover faster.
That was Rachel Cutler, a University of Maryland social work student who works with the organization Housing Our Neighbors. We'll be covering this again in greater detail this Monday at 6 on our program at 6 p.m. on 88.9 WEAA-FM and here on the web, and more during this next week and the coming weeks. Thanks for listening. This is Mark Steiner.